You know what time it is by the sound of that music. It's Faith and Sport time here on Carolina Catholic Radio Charlotte, 1270 AM. We're also streaming at carolinacatholicmedia.org and on the Carolina Catholic mobile app. We're also streaming across the Radio Maria broadcasting area. Good to have all of our Radio Maria listeners tuned in around the Radio Maria broadcasting area for a brand new edition of Faith and Sport. I'm the producer. Well, I am Chris, but I'm also the producer of the show, Faith and Sport. I'm so excited because here he is, the host of Faith and Sport. You know him as Dr. John Acquaviva.
Hey, folks, welcome to the show wherever, whenever, however you're listening to us. It really doesn't matter. One of those ways is great. You're listening to Faith and Sport. This is where we apply our faith to all aspects of sports. So if you're an athlete, if you're a parent of an athlete, if you're a referee, administrator, a fan of sport, this is the show for you because this is where we talk sports. We talk X's and O's, wins and losses, but we try to weave in character, morality into that conversation just in each and every time. Here's what we're going to do today. We're going to talk today's sports topics, including our hit and miss. Our guest in the second half of the show is Clay Hammack, a pro soccer player. Local guy here at the Charlotte Independence. He's also the Youth Evangelization Athletic Director at St. Gabriel Catholic Church right here in Charlotte. We're going to talk to him. What does that role have him do? We're going to do the quick Q&A without the show. Got all kinds of stuff going on.
Yeah, I think those fans had their Starbucks today.
I know. This is fantastic. They did or didn't?
They did.
I agree with that, brother. Listen, man, how you doing?
I'm doing great because over the weekend, we finally got the start of the regular season of baseball. I got
to see
my Braves play, and they're doing well so far. And also, I read today that the Braves are going to be honoring Andrew Jones and retiring his number 25 jersey, which is awesome because one of the Atlanta Braves star players. He's a 5-time All-Star and 10-time
Gold Glove
winner, he'll be honored September 9th at Truist Park before the Braves host the Pittsburgh Pirates.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Brother, tell me, do you have a favorite Atlanta Braves player of all time?
That'd be hard. I know one of my most favorite players of all time would probably have to be Chipper Jones.
Yeah. Yeah, he was a longtime player.
Yeah.
By all accounts, a good leader, a good man.
Right.
He was a really good baseball player.
That's right.
And he was a longtime teammate of Andrew Jones.
Right.
Yeah, in fact, if I'm not mistaken, I don't know what organization, but I know Andrew Jones' son is in the minor league system, and I think he has a chance to make – he had a chance, or he's on one of the rosters as a young guy himself. And, of course, one of the reasons Andrew Jones was so well-known is I want to say he was one of the youngest players ever in the history of the World Series to hit a home run. I think he did it at 19. A few guys have done that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is a good time, brother, that it is baseball season. And you'll be happy to hear I have 20 guys on my fantasy baseball team, and two of them are Braves, Matt Olson and Ronald Acuna. Right? Did I have that name right?
Acuna. Yeah, Ronald Acuna Jr.
Acuna Jr., that's right. Got to put that junior part in there.
And I was going to ask you how your Tigers are doing starting out.
You tease it. Brother, it might be until game 15 or 20 until they win a game. They're 0-3 so far. And then the worst part is they have the great Houston Astros for the next couple of games. And I said to my son, he almost was in disbelief. In the three games that the Tampa Bay Devil Rays beat the Tigers, the total score in the three games was 25-3.
Wow.
I know, the Tigers are terrible. It's going to be a long year. And I told my brother, this is one of the reasons I get involved in fantasy, is so I can, because that's literally what it is. It's like a fantasy land, so I can escape the awful team and results of the Detroit Tigers this year.
Yeah,
I think they're going to be one of the worst teams in baseball. Did you say I agree?
You can escape the reality.
Oh, man, that's why it's called that. Folks, if you're just joining us, welcome to Faith in Sport here on Carolina Catholic Radio. It's a co-production of Radio Maria. Brother, let's go ahead and have a good show. You know why this is unique for us? Is this is one of the few times just in the last 2 years that it's just been you and I in the studio. Normally, Ed Billick's here. Jason Murphy's here. We have another guest call in or come in for the first half of the show, but there's nobody here today. It's just me, and it's going to be you, the producer.
Right.
But all the more, brother, I appreciate what you do. Listen,
glad
folks.
Glad to be here.
No, this is great. This is a good show. We have so much going on in the world of sport. Got a lot of things to talk about. In particular, in our we're going to do our hit and miss, but there's also – I'm going to give a little teaser here. After winning – his second straight NCAA Division II National Football Championship, Ferris State head coach Tony Annesi has been suspended for a game, and the team has been fined for breaking a specific policy. You're not going to believe what that policy is. We're going to come back to that later on in the show. And also, Chris, I'm going to leave everybody hanging on this. Ed loves when I do this, a little cliffhangers. There has been a bill that's been introduced by the state Senate here in North Carolina, and it literally is to eliminate something that has to do with participation in sport. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. But first, you know what I want to do is I want to give a shout out to Jennifer House. She has agreed to be the sponsor of this program for the month of April. And a little bit about Jennifer House and her physical therapy clinic. Physical Therapy by Jen focuses on a population that is often ignored and undertreated by the medical community, and that's those with chronic pain and pelvic floor dysfunction. With one-on-one treatment sessions for 60 to 90 minutes, patients are given compassionate care in a healing environment with the cutting-edge treatment. Physical Therapy by Jen is located in Indian Trail, close to all surrounding Charlotte areas. So there you go, folks, the sponsor for the Faith in Sport radio show. So listen, we got a few things to get to. The main thing that we do here on this program is we talk about a big story, or actually an underlying story. Maybe it's known by the listener, maybe not, by readers of sports pages, either physical or online. That is something that is positive or negative in the world of sport. And actually, mine has to do with the aforementioned sport, Chris, and that is Major League Baseball. This is my miss, and it has to do with the rule changes. Chris, are you familiar with some of the rule changes that have been implemented for the 2023 baseball season?
Yeah.
Name them.
Well, I know that they added the pitching clock.
That's right.
One of them.
That's right. And what does that mean, the pitching clock?
That the pitchers don't get as much time to throw off that pitch as they used to.
In fact, it was unlimited.
Yeah, unlimited, yeah.
And now it's 20 seconds, and if there's somebody on base, it's 15 seconds. Do you know another rule change?
Because they want to try to shorten the time of the game so it doesn't last quite as long.
That's right, and that's a big deal for, if you ask me, I think mostly for the non-fan. Like, they're like, the game's got to be shorter, but I'm going to circle back around to it. Anyway, do you know the one about the bases?
Yeah, I heard the one about the bases, too. They made the size of the bases larger enable more stolen bases.
And more infield hits, right?
That's right.
If there's a slow ground ball, the shortstop or the second baseman over the mound,
right,
better chance to, you know, even though it's 3 inches total, that makes a difference. And, you know, I'm going to talk about that stat here in a second. But there's another stat. And again, directly geared at speeding up the game, the batter can only call one formal timeout per at-bat. Because, you know, sometimes they'll put their hand out to the umpire and go, timeout, and they'll step back in. Sometimes they'll ask for another timeout, and it frustrates the viewer. But you know what really frustrates is the pitcher. So here's the reason why it's a miss for me. These rules are changing what has been in place, not just for decades, but for over a century or more.
Right.
In fact, this game goes back to something like the start and during the Civil War. In fact, I think there are writings, there are letters that discuss some form of baseball being played during in between battles and days off from fighting during the Civil War. This is a long time ago. The Civil War is from 1861 to 1865. That's a pretty long time ago, right?
Yeah, I think back then it was called stickball or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. I think that was the New York City version, but you're right. It was probably something like that. Mm-hmm. They probably didn't have conventional bats. The ball was not a baseball as we know it today. But similar rules were intact and so forth. But the other one is the shift. Remember the shift that you used to be able to put as many people as you want on one side of the infield? You could bring an outfielder into the infield. You could take an infielder and put them out to the outfield. You can't do that anymore. Mm-hmm. You have to have the shortstop and third baseman on the left side of the field, and you have to have the first baseman and the second baseman on that side of the field.
Yep.
Now, here's the thing. The reason, and we talked about this a couple weeks ago, here's the thing about the base changes and the clock and so forth, is this is a method, if you ask me, that is thought to bring in more viewers. And I think baseball is really close cousins with hockey, and that there's a really small population that considers it their favorite sport.
Yeah.
And because of that, it's very loyal, right? There's a small, relatively small percentage of people that call baseball their favorite sport as hockey, but they're very loyal. Now, the thing about this is, if they kept these rules, if they didn't institute these rules, I think, Chris, there would be no change in the viewership among these fans.
Yeah.
But the other thing is, Chris, people have been saying for years, you got to shorten the game, you got to shorten the game. But for who? For people that aren't watching it? I'll bet $100, Chris, the people that weren't watching last year are not watching this year in these changes. By the way, this is a little this is interesting little piece of information. Last year on day one, there were, I think, 75% success rate of stolen bases. On day one, right? And we had day one just last week, opening day. And it was 90% success rate on day runs, showing that maybe the change in the size of the base actually makes a difference. But of course, that was only one day.
Yeah.
So we'll see. But you know, the other thing is, brother, and this is the big thing, if you ask me, this is the biggest issue, and this is why it's my miss. Clearly why it's my miss. Like no other sport, it's driven by statistics, right? We remember how many home runs are hit in a season. We remember the all-time home run hitters for a career. This is a statistic and data-driven sport. And if you change the base size, you have more base hits. That changes averages within the game. That changes stolen bases within the game. How can you do that? How can you change something after more than a century and change it just to try to get more viewers? And that's one of the things that's helping destroy the game. Mm-hmm. That's one of the reasons why people do love it as much as they do. Because it has this lifelong, basically, these rules that have remained intact, and statistics mean something. Statistics in football and in basketball and in hockey don't mean as much because the rules have changed literally every few years. And in baseball, so many of those rules have not changed, brother.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you.
Yeah, it just goes back to that old saying, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Don't fix it. But you know what? They think it's broke because they want a piece of that NFL pie, right? They want, you know, more and more statistics show that there's a huge difference between how many people consider the NFL their favorite sport and then all these other sports. It used to be baseball and football were neck and neck. And now it's football is up here and literally everybody else. We're only a couple points ahead of hockey. Mm-hmm. And I love hockey, but I'm just saying, hockey's always been that, right, that sport that is kind of on the outside. People maybe watch the playoffs. They kind of know that there's a team nearby. They don't really follow it. It's really strange, that whole thing, that whole phenomena about baseball kind of coming down, where it used to be the only sport in town, right?
Yeah.
100 years ago, there was three big sports, baseball, boxing, and horse racing. And people are like, what? And those were the three big sports 100 years ago.
Yeah.
And now, of course, they've all taken a backseat.
That's
football,
right.
College football, pro football, and so forth. All right, folks, listen, you're listening to Faith and Sport here on Carolina Catholic Radio. It's a co-production of Radio Maria. This is where, Faith and Sport, we look at sport through a Catholic lens. So we always try to talk about morality, our faith, character and ethics, all as it relates to the world of sport. Listen, we were coming up to our first break. Thank you for joining us today on Faith and Sport. Give us a couple minutes. We'll come right back with more stuff, including the transfer portal changes and this gambling, this legislation about North Carolina gambling. Stick with us, folks.
Faith and charity are key elements of life, but are they at the center of your retirement planning and life insurance decisions? Knights of Columbus, a trusted organization with a proud history of more than 140 years of helping its members, can help Catholic families with insurance and retirement planning solutions. Most importantly, we do this in a way that is compatible with Catholic teaching and the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops Investment Guidelines. Today, we have expanded our offerings to include retirement annuities, long-term care insurance, and disability income insurance. Beyond the benefits of financial protection, members may take satisfaction in knowing that Knights of Columbus contributes to causes that align with Catholic moral teaching. Let your faith inspire your financial decisions. Terms and conditions apply. Learn more by calling field agent Bob Gordon at 516-551-7838.
Teachers that care, professors that care about you. Just an awesome experience all around.
There's peace here. There's encouragement here.
Faculty, everybody that works here, they really set you up for success.
I don't think I have ever felt as loved and as supported and as encouraged as I have at the Abbey.
There's something here that's underlying and intrinsic. It's like a spirit of love and community. And I think the spirit is God's presence here.
Belmont Abbey College, a world away, but close to home. Visit us at belmontabbeycollege.edu.
Hey folks, welcome back to Faith and Sport. I'm Dr. John Acquaviva. I teach right over there at Wingate University. I teach exercise science. I teach stuff like sports nutrition, strength and conditioning, exercise physiology, and being a lifelong Catholic and being in this field of sport and exercise science and so forth. I thought a great way to gel two of my true passions is do this radio show, hence the name Faith and Sport. That's why we're here. That's why you're listening to us. Wherever you are, Carolina Catholic Radio, Radio Maria, you're listening to us maybe on a podcast, via YouTube. You may be listening live on 1270 AM right here in Charlotte. Bunch of ways to listen. Either way, whenever, wherever, however you're listening to us, I am appreciative of that.
That's good. It's just a good thing you don't teach directions at Wingate, because when you pointed towards Wingate, you pointed the wrong way.
I think I'm always pointing north, aren't I, when I point that way? And actually, I think it's that way, right?
Yeah.
Is that more?
Yeah.
But that's one of the great things about radio, right? Just like having a face for radio, I don't have direction. I have direction for radio. Every time I point and nobody has any idea which way I'm pointing and the fact that I'm pointing in the wrong direction. Listen, after the break, we're going to do another little segment here, talk about a bunch of other stuff going on in the world of sport. We have Clay Hammack, a pro soccer player, going to join us. He's a faithful guy, does presentations on his faith and his career as a professional athlete. He's going to join us just in a few minutes, so stick with us for that. Chris, we're going to do the quick Q&A in 1 minute. One of the things I mentioned just before the break is there has been a proposal, and I don't think this will surprise anybody because I think a lot of states have approved this, to open up sports books here in North Carolina, and the state Senate has been moving this bill through, and it looks like it's going to pass. And I want to talk about that a little bit, because I just thought it was interesting in the direction that they came at it. So the issue is really this, right? For years, gambling was always seen as something that was allowed in certain venues. Like here in the state of North Carolina, we have casinos that are run, I think, for the most part by Native American tribes, right?
Right.
And then, of course, I think that up in Minnesota and throughout the country, there are such gaming places. Of course, the most famous places on the East Coast is Atlantic City, right? It's all legal there in New Jersey. And then, of course, the most famous place is out in Las Vegas, Nevada, where they have everything from craps to poker to sportsbook, right?
That's right. It's all run by the mafiosos.
That's right. Allegedly.
Allegedly, yeah.
So the thing about this particular bill I thought was interesting was on one side of the aisle, they argued that this is not good for our society because it's ultimately creating and feeding this vice, perhaps even a sin, and right. It's just going to create addiction. And it was interesting on the news a couple days ago when they announced this bill, the people on the other side of the aisle ignored every one of those statements and anything like it and said, listen, it's already happening. And this is a quote from one of the representatives. It's already happening, and ignoring the issue only makes it worse as other states around us continue to legalize it. In other words, if they're making money, we're stooges if we don't make money off of this. You know, one of the interesting things, this is projected to make $80 million, Chris. Hmm. $80 million. And I don't even know, wow, is this per year? But it might very well do that. Anyway, $2 million of that $80 million is going to go toward gambling education and addressing addiction. Isn't that interesting? I know you laughed. That was purposeful and that was sincere. So the very thing they're going to report and push forward, I mean, is maybe going to be something that causes addiction. And so they know it even beforehand. So they said two of this $80 million that we're going to earn, we're going to put toward education and ultimately handling this addiction.
So you can be an educated gambler if you're going to gamble?
That's exactly it. So you know what they should do is they should educate them on addiction.
Yeah.
Listen, this is likely going to be an addiction, at least to a certain extent. And you're going to have to, you're right, you're going to have to address your finances. You're going to have to address your work, all these situations that can be impacted by, and in fact, the main thing is family life.
Or right? I can picture it. Picking the correct numbers, 101. Are you going to pick the correct horse? Pick these numbers right here, not these numbers.
That's right. It's right. In fact, ultimately, I think what they're going to do, maybe the education is exactly, like, here's how to bet, right? I think that's going to be part of it. But I think you're right. The other part is going to be about the addiction and why it could be addictive or something like that.
Yeah.
But you're right. At first, they have to teach them how to do it so they can get addicted, and then they can help them in their addiction once they have it. Gosh, isn't that awful, folks? Listen, if you're just joining us, you're listening to Faith and Sport here on Carolina Catholic Radio. It's a co-production of Radio Maria. Listen, folks, if you want to get a hold of me, there's a couple ways. One is you can just email me, and I'd love to hear from you. Literally, just go to my email address at Wingate, and I have two of them, right? j.aquaviva@wingate.edu, or the one that's probably easier to remember. It's named after this show, faithandsport@wingate.edu, and that's and in there, faithandsport@wingate.edu. Or if you have one of those devices called a cell phone or smartphone, you can actually tweet me, and it's j.aquaviva1. j.aquaviva1. In fact, if anybody from Radio Maria Land or Carolina Catholic Radio tweets me today, I'll consider sending them a Wingate football t-shirt. How about that? If anybody tweets me on this day, I'm going to consider giving them a dry fit football shirt from Wingate University. Chris, that's a pretty good deal.
Yeah, how about autographed by yours truly, Dr. John Aquaviva?
I thought you were going to say yours truly, Chris Pressler, the producer of Faith and Sport. Brother, listen, we have a couple minutes before we go to break. I promised folks that we would do the quick Q&A with Dr. A. We got a couple good ones planned. Go ahead. What's the first on the lineup?
First one up is your thoughts on the story about Russell Wilson and his wife visiting a male prison.
I thought this was a great story in the world of sports. One of the reasons we do this show. Russell Wilson and his wife, Sierra, she's one of the few people in the singing industry that are known by one name, like her and Cher.
Mm-hmm.
Who else is known by one name?
Adele.
Madonna, Adele, yeah. Right? And so she's one of the few. And to tell the truth, I don't really know who she is. I think I've heard of her, but I'm not, quote, a fan. I don't follow her. I don't follow her on Instagram or anything like that. But more than anything, I don't follow her music. But either way, my respect for her went up and my respect for Russell Wilson went up. Russell Wilson is currently the quarterback. He's a longtime NFLer, but most of his years were spent with the Seattle Seahawks. He's a Super Bowl champ. And now he's with the Denver Broncos.
That's right.
And he is a faithful guy. And him and his wife, Sierra, Russell Wilson and his wife, Sierra, decided to go through this program called God Behind Bars, in which they minister to inmates. And I thought this was particularly interesting for a couple of reasons, Chris. First of all, they went to not just a prison, but a maximum security prison. And it was called the Everglades Correctional Institute. And Russell did a couple of things. He shared his testimony about why he's a Christian, right? Mm-hmm. He read to them scripture and talked about, and he was evangelizing them, right? And he gave his personal testimony, which I thought was really powerful. I actually saw some of it. It's all on Instagram and YouTube and so forth. And at one point, they broke out in song, right? And we know that St. Francis once said there's, you know, when you sing, you pray twice, right? You're actually through the words, and then you're kind of like, you know, it's like an emotional and physical thing more than just to say a prayer, but to sing it is kind of like a different level, and it's a great way to praise God. And I forgot the name of the song, but this clip will help remind me. Chris, play that clip from this testimony and prayer time that they had with these inmates at Everglades Correctional Institute. Very good. I love that. That is inspirational. And they actually sounded good, didn't they? Not that prisoners can't sing or whatever, yeah. But I thought that was really good. One of the verses that Russell Wilson, the quarterback of the Denver Broncos, read to the inmates was the following. This is from John 3:17. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save it through him. And I thought that was a perfect right scripture, and I'm sure that he was led to that, or he was motivated to by the Spirit to read that. And one of the other things that I thought was really neat, that was a special treat for these prisoners, was that Sierra, his well-known in some circles singing wife, she sang a song called Waymaker. And I have a feeling mm-hmm. if I heard it, but that was kind of a big deal on the internet that she sang. So she's a talent, she's a beauty. And for her to go in front of those inmates, I think took courage. It took moral courage, but also took physical courage, because this is a maximum security prison in which mm-hmm. virtually everyone in that room was there for life. So that means they've done some really bad things. And, of course, this is one of the things that I think moved these two people, Russell Wilson and his wife Sierra, because these people have no hope, and they wanted to give them the hope of God. Right. And I was greatly inspired by this. And it's one of the reasons truly that we have this program, Faith in Sport, is I want to share stories like that, that are in the background that not too many people know about, but I want to share them with you, the listener, in Carolina Catholic Radio Land and Radio Maria Land. Folks, thank you for joining us today. This is where we merge with our show, Faith in Sport, Sport and Virtue. So, this is a great opportunity for me to merge the two things, as I said in the first segment, that are dear to me, my faith and the world of sport, hence this program. So I want to thank you for joining us. I want to thank you for supporting this program and joining us in any way that you can or have done in the past. I mentioned earlier, and we can, before we go to the break, I want to talk about this. I thought this is one of the most interesting stories out there, and when I saw this, I go, this is perfect conversation for our show. How much time we got, brother, before we go to break?
We got a couple minutes.
There you go. So I'm going to go into this. So I mentioned that Ferris State head coach Tony Annesy has been suspended for violating a particular policy, and further, the institution, Ferris State, was fined $15,000. So he was suspended for one game when he won the national championship. And get this, Chris, if I gave you five guesses, if I gave you 25 guesses, you probably wouldn't come up with whatever it is why he was suspended and fined. Let me read this. Players are normally permitted to smoke cigars in the locker rooms following games. But the Division II championship game was hosted at McKinney Stadium in Texas. But that's a high school. And like many high schools throughout the nation, the school has a strict no policy tobacco policy on campus. In addition to Annesy being suspended for the next postseason game that he'll be eligible to coach in, which is a big deal, not a regular season game against some weaker opponent, but the next postseason game, they have to pay restitution to the McKinney School District for the amount of $15,383 for cleaning and repair expenses. They had to spend $15,000 to clean up ashes from a tobacco, right? From a cigar. Wow. Come on. The school was also fined $2,500. This is one of those situations, Chris, where you're like, all right, this is, and I mean this literally, sometimes the people who get fined, the people who get arrested, the people who get taken to the court are the ones that are the easiest, that are low-hanging fruit. In other words, if they're easy to catch, they're easy to get, they're easy to find, those are going to be the ones we're after. And yeah. All these people in these major cities are doing really bad things, and they're not getting in trouble for it. Mm-hmm. And Ferris State University, they suspend the coach, they fine them $50,000 to clean up ashes from a cigar. Jiminy crickets.
Yeah, I mean, little sweep up and spray a little air freshener.
That's
and you're
right.
done.
And then, meanwhile, they're like, well, that only costs us $12. We could spend the other $15,000 plus.
Yeah.
Holy smokes, folks. And it says, we're committed to running a program representing the ideas and values of Fair State University, said the athletic director of that conference. Holy smokes, dude. You were thinking, they're talking about stealing stuff out of the other people's locker room
yeah.
or taking something from the concession stand without paying for it. We're talking about smoking a cigar. And
yeah.
on top of it, they allow this in every college stadium, but because it's high school, they found it just a way to tap into the pockets of people that have more
yeah.
money than
you
that.
Thought he was smoking some illegal substance
That's
in there.
That's right. Well, of course, it's not illegal in all states.
No.
I heard, Chris, it's expected to be legalized here in the state of North Carolina.
That's what I've been hearing, yeah. too, so may have some coaches smoking that during the game coaching.
No, actually, no, hopefully not during. That'll really cause for some bad coaching decisions, I'm sure. Folks, listen, you're listening to Faith and Sport here on Carolina Catholic Radio. It's a co-production of Radio Maria. Listen, right after this, we have a professional soccer player, Clay Hammack, and faithful, lifelong Catholic, going to join the show. So stay with us. We'll be right back after the Beatles song and some other messages.
On January 31st, 2019, Carolina Catholic Media signed on Charlotte's first Catholic radio station, AM 1270 WCGC. By the grace of God, we celebrate the past 4 years and look forward to continuing our apostolic vision and mission to serve the Carolina Catholic community. We are evangelistic partners with our clergy, active parishioners, the fallen away, and the homebound. We are accessible to all Christians, agnostics, and atheists. With distribution of a wide array of content across 7 media platforms, there truly is something for everyone. During these past 4 years, Carolina Catholic has expanded to 7 media platforms that include radio, internet stream, mobile app, website, YouTube, social media, and e-newsletter. Nearly all local programs are available by podcast and video on demand. In the year ahead, we're committed to promote more local parish, school, and ministry events, more live broadcasts, and more valuable content that showcases our dynamic local Carolina Catholic community. Of all the Catholic radio stations in the U.S., Carolina Catholic is arguably a leader in locally produced programs. To continue our work, Carolina Catholic Media needs $15,000 in monthly funding to continue operations across our 7 media platforms. We are 100% dependent on your generosity. If you love what we're doing, please join us with a monthly tithe or annual gift. We have partnership plans available for parishes, schools, and ministries. If you own a business, you can be a program sponsor on one or all of our platforms. You can do a live broadcast of a special event, with promotion before and rebroadcast after. On behalf of everyone at Carolina Catholic Media, we thank you for your past support and look forward to you joining us with the resources the apostolate needs to continue to evangelize the truth of Jesus Christ and our Catholic faith across the Carolinas. May God bless you and your family abundantly.
Hey, folks, welcome back to Faith and Sport here on Carolina Catholic Radio. It's a co-production of Radio Maria. Thank you for joining us, however, whenever, wherever you're joining us. We have so many ways for you to tap into our show. Chris, talk me through those ways. One way you can listen to it here in North Carolina, here in the Charlotte area, you can listen to it on 1270 AM.
That's right.
If you go to the website, you can listen to it streaming live.
Right? That's right.
You could click on where it says shows, and then there's a drop-down menu, and Faith in Sport is one of those. And right. then you can just simply hit our – what form is it? Would you call it a podcast at that point?
Yeah, it's a
– Or just a – what would you call that?
Our podcast site at CarolinaCatholicMedia.org, where we have all the Faith in Sport archived shows there. You can get your fill of Dr. John Aquaviva and the best moments in Faith in Sport by going through that archive at CarolinaCatholicMedia.org, or you can access it through the Carolina Catholic Media mobile app. You can just download it from the Google Play Store absolutely free of charge.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That is really cool that there's so many ways to get this show. And, of course, Radio Maria, and I know that they run the show, and I think they have a repeat of it, and then you can right. go to their website and hear their podcast of this show via Radio Maria. So either
That's
way,
right.
however, whenever, wherever you're joining us, we want to thank you for joining us. Joining us actually in just 1 minute is going to be Clay Dimmick. And I mentioned him earlier, and I think I mispronounced his name, just like I mispronounced
yeah.
just then. But his name is Clay Dimmick. He's a lifelong Catholic. He's a professional soccer player. In fact, locally here for the Charlotte Independents, which is kind of a minor league of the Major League Soccer League that's here in the United States.
It's right.
That MLS is the best form of soccer here in the country. I mean, he's a part of that minor league system, and he's going to join us here in a few minutes to talk about his faith and soccer and a little bit of both. Like, how does he maintain his faith while he travels and when he's traveling on Sundays and so forth? That's part of what I want to ask him. And in particular, I want to ask him, I never heard this title before, but he is the Youth Evangelization Athletic Director at a local grade school here.
Wow.
Catholic grade school.
I think what a title.
Really, yeah, what a title. In fact, I'm going to ask him to spell any one of those words. It's going to be impressive.
Yeah.
Listen, before we do that, I want to talk to you guys about the sponsor of the show. It is Physical Therapy by Jen. And I want to thank Jennifer House for being the sponsor for the month of April. And this message comes from Jennifer. Physical Therapy by Jen focuses on a population that is often ignored and undertreated by the medical community, and that's those with chronic pain and pelvic floor dysfunction. With one-on-one treatment sessions for 60 to 90 minutes, patients are given compassionate care in a healing environment with cutting-edge treatment. Physical Therapy by Jen is located in Indian Trail, close to all surrounding Charlotte areas. So Clay Dimmick, professional soccer player and lifelong Catholic. He's a Catholic speaker. He's going to be joining us, we expect, in just a moment. One of the things I like to do is prep our audience for what they can expect in the upcoming weeks here on Faith in Sport. So we have another pro soccer player, a gal, Paula Umana. She's going to join us in our next show. We have Max Engel. He and two other theologians have written a book called On the Eighth Day, right? The book of Genesis talks about the 7 days of creation. And on the eighth day, God created sport is one of the kind of statements about sport because so many people have a passion for it. Max Engel is one of the authors of that book and of that movement. He's going to be on the show. Then we're going to have Chad Carlson on. He's a college coach and co-host of Sport, Faith, and Life. And that should sound familiar because just last show, his co-host on that, Brian Bolt, was a guest on the show. And then part two of Kevin Riley, the former NFL linebacker, joined us for the show. He's written a book. I don't know if you remember when he was on here
yeah.
just a couple weeks ago. Great guy.
Yeah.
Great guest. Real faithful guy, Kevin Riley. He's going to join us too. So Paula Umana, Max Engel, Chad Carlson, Kevin Riley, just to name a few of the people that are going to join us here on this show. You know, another thing I wanted to talk about, and we'll have a chance to get to this before we have our guest on, Clay Dimmick, and that is I'm going to give you a little quiz, all right? And you have to tell me, Chris, what sport and what league these teams belong to. You ready?
I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. The St. Louis Battlehawks. This is professional sport, by the way.
The Battlehawks.
The D.C. Defenders. And lastly, the San Antonio Brahmas. They're all in the same league. Can you give a guess? And I'll give you a hint. They're currently in season. The name of the league starts with the letter X.
Oh, the XFL, right. Yeah.
I love the realization that came over your, you're like, what the? That was fantastic. Anyway, the best one, or the worst one maybe, listen to this. The San Antonio Brahmas, I'm not sure what that meant. I'm not even sure. I'm looking at the word. I'm not even sure I'm spelling it correctly. Definition, you ready? The creator god of the Hindu sacred triad. I don't even know what that means. And it says the ultimate ground of all being in Hinduism. I don't know what these definitions mean, but it's clearly something having to do with the Hindu religion. And it was just so random for them to call this team the Brahmas.
Yeah.
So that's where we are with that.
So is that Hindu-owned football team? Or
yeah, well, I have. Yeah, in fact, that might be the thing. Now, right now, I'm going to the NFL or the XFL standings, and let's see. Okay, teams have played 7 games up until this point, and there's only 8 teams total. So there's the Seattle Sea Dragons. I kind of like that one. The yeah. Houston Roughnecks. The Arlington Renegades. I wonder, Arlington's probably not Virginia, but probably Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And the Orlando Guardians. So there's 8 teams total in that league.
Yeah.
And they've played 8 games, and nobody knows exactly how many games they're going to play. Because of this, they might have like a 10 or 12 game schedule, mm-hmm. but it's possible that after like 9 games, they're going to go, sorry, folks, nobody's coming to our games. We're gonna shut up shop. You know, we're going to close up shop, and they can't play any more games. And that actually happened. I want to say that actually happened. What was the other one? USFL. Did they finish their season? Remember? Do you remember that league that they were around last year? I give these folks credit. Everybody's trying to take a bite of the NFL,
mm-hmm.
and they just can't do it, right?
Nope.
And you know, partly why is because they don't want to go head-to-head in the fall and in the early winter against the NFL. They want to go in the spring and in the summer where there's no football.
Right.
But most people are like, no, football is for the fall and the early winter. It's
that's
not
right.
for the summer or the spring. That's the only thing I can think of. So,
folks,
listen, you're listening to Faith and Sport here on Carolina Catholic Radio. It's a co-production of Radio Maria. One of the things that I would like for you to do is, if you know somebody that'd be a good guest on the show, they're an athlete, they're a former athlete, they're a parent that's been greatly involved in sport, somebody who's really committed their lives, at least outside of work, and a passion of theirs is the world of sport, and somehow, some way, they've made sport a better experience for all those involved, I want you to contact me. And you can do this one of a couple ways. One is you can just simply email me, and that's faithandsport@wingate.edu, or tweet me at j.aquaviva1. That's the number one. So again, those two ways to get in touch with me, j.aquaviva1, that's my Twitter account, or you can email me simply faithandsport@wingate.edu. And Faith and Sport is A-N-D in between Faith and Sport. Our guest for the day was supposed to be Clay Dimmick, a professional soccer player. We're still waiting for him to chime in here and give us some of his wisdom. He's a young guy. He's a faithful guy. He's a really talented guy in the field of soccer. Chris, let's do this. Let's go to our second Q&A, the quick Q&A with Dr. A, and throw me out that question, and let's see where it takes us, brother.
Are trophies necessary in youth sports?
Oh, this is a great question.
Yeah.
Right? This is a really good question. So the reason that this came up was because just like that gambling bill that was proposed, and I think it's going to pass, I think that's further along than this particular bill, but a state senator from the state of North Carolina here proposed a bill titled, get this, Chris, it sounds like it's made up, Eliminate Participation Trophies Act. Right. So they want to eliminate trophies for participation.
Right.
And the reason was it wasn't because this guy is solely against kids getting a trophy just because they participate, but because there's public funds. The government will in some cases, I think, depending on certain criteria, will actually give those monies. So each kid, regardless of whether they go 1-19 or 19-1, gets a trophy that says you participated on the San Antonio Brahmas XFL football team.
Right.
So I'm all for this for a couple of reasons. I actually am. Ultimately, if somebody says, should we have a bill? I don't know, right? That's a lot of time and effort and, the public's money to put forward a bill and have people vote on it and so forth. But there's a couple of reasons why I'm for it. First of all, if there is public funding, let's maybe not spend so much as a government if we can, especially on things like trophies, right? It's okay to give the winners a trophy, even the runner-ups a trophy. I have no issue with that. Mm-hmm. But there's a couple of reasons. Do we need trophies, first of all? And this is rhetorical. That confirms that we participate. And of course, no, we have everything from cameras to take pictures to video cameras to take film or to take videotape. We have all of this proof that we participated. And I mean this literally. I think for a moment it means something to the kid. Even when they're small, though, I have a feeling it doesn't mean all that much to them. But here's the other reason, brother. Most of these places that our kids have belonged to are not publicly funded. And we have to pay for it. So when my son plays baseball for $385 for a 12-game season, there's a lot of money that's involved in there. And if they say something like, listen, you have the choice, $385 or without trophies, $350, right? Or something like that. I'm going to vote not have trophies. And here's another one of those issues, Chris. Names on the back of jerseys. Even when these kids are in T-ball, there's names on the back of jerseys. In and of itself, when you see that, you go, why does this hurt anybody? Why is this harming? It hurts our checkbooks, people. Yeah. When you pay $200, $300, $400 to be in a season, the more money that is, more likely the more benefits you're getting. And one of those benefits is probably a trophy. You're paying for the trophy.
Yeah.
If a lot of parents, man, they like us, we have five kids. We would love to, even if it was a few bucks less, we would appreciate that. Names on the back of jerseys, come on. I mean, I get it to an extent. It makes the kid feel special, but it's okay. The New York Yankees do not have names on the back of their jerseys.
No.
The Boston Red Sox, it's true.
Yeah.
They do not have names on the back of their jerseys. No. They're the Boston Red Sox. They're the New York Yankees. I think the local Monroe little pipsqueaker ankle biter football team can go without names on the back of their jerseys.
Yeah.
All right.
They probably charge like so much per letter.
I know with a name like Aqua Viva, we get especially hurt. They're like, the cost is $385 for everybody. If your name is Aqua Viva or longer, it's $395. Right? It's something.
Yeah.
Right? Have all these, and they're like, what? How many V's are in Aqua Viva? And I'm like, yeah, there's two. Well, listen.
And we charge extra for any misspellings.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. You can charge them just as much as you charge Ferris State for smoking cigars in the locker room. $15,000. Yeah. All right, folks, listen, you're listening to Faith in Sport. I've said that three times now. I said, listen, folks, you're listening to folks, you're listening to Faith in Sport here in Carolina Catholic Radio. It's a co-production of Radio Maria. I meant what I said. Contact me if you know anybody that'd be a good guest for the show, or we just want to hear basic comments from you about this show. All right, folks, stay with it. We got one more segment coming up right here on Faith in Sport. Hang with us.
Who's that whispering in the trees? It's two cities and they're only pipes and chains and swinging hands. Who's your daddy? Yes, I am. Bad cat came to play.
Carolina Catholic Parish News. St. Dorothy in Lincolnton invites you to a retreat entitled How Your Personality Affects Your Discipleship. This is a two-day retreat on April 14th and 15th at the Catholic Conference Center in Hickory. Discover how your personality impacts your discipleship. Learn how to make meaningful connections with people in your life and create a powerful plan for growth on your spiritual journey. Register early at njackson@theeremosgroup.com. That's E-R-E-M-O-S group.com. Queen of the Apostles is offering a new ministry for work at home or homeschooling dads. On Thursday, April 27th, from 12:30 to 2:30, come join other dads for a time of fellowship and faith. Kids Zone will be open and available for children. For information, contact Brendan at bsweeney1759@gmail.com. For the Carolina Catholic Media News, I'm Pam Cullen. God bless y'all.
Experience the incredible story of the woman who Time magazine named the most influential Catholic woman in the United States. Born Rita Rizzo, the future mother Angelica grew up in a rough neighborhood in Canton, Ohio. Young Rita experienced abandonment, rejection, and heartache, but God touched her through a woman named Rhoda Wise. Encounter this amazing woman at the Mother Angelica Museum. Plan your visit today at motherangelicamuseum.com.
Hey guys, it's Jason Murphy for the Obligation Radio Show. Make sure to tune in on Friday afternoons at 5 p.m. to catch our latest episodes. From kids to marriage to business and church to politics to current events, we discuss topics of faith and life to help you become the man, the father, the husband God is calling you to be. Catch replays streaming throughout the week and on demand over the Carolina Catholic Radio app or anytime at carolinacatholicradio.org. God bless and Esto Vir.
Hey folks, welcome back to Faith and Sport. I'm Dr. John Acquaviva. You're listening to Carolina Catholic Radio. It's a co-production of Radio Maria. I am glad you're joining us today. We've talked about a lot. We did our quick Q&A with Dr. A. We did our hit or miss in the world of sport. And if you're just joining us, that means you've missed about two-thirds, three-quarters of our program. So make sure you go to either Radio Maria or Carolina Catholic Radio, and you can do one of a couple things. You can download it via YouTube. Some of these shows are available on YouTube, but both on the Radio Maria and Carolina Catholic Radio websites, you can just go to the shows, and when you tap on Faith and Sport, you can go to the show and you can hear it in its entirety. We had a lot of good topics to talk about, a lot of stuff going on in the world of sport as it relates to ethics, fairness, morality, and so forth. So it's a regular sports program, so a lot of the talk is similar to what you would hear on your radio and TV sports programs, but we always try to mix those aspects of character and morality into that conversation. Brother, I thought it was interesting. I asked, you know, it was the third race of the season in NASCAR, and I said, did you have a chance to watch it? And I was just curious, of course, but I think being a true fan, you had a feeling of guilt, didn't you? You're like, no, I didn't watch. I'm sorry, NASCAR people.
No, I had a busy weekend, but I do know that Kyle Larson was the big winner there, one of the Rick Hendrick drivers driving his Chevrolet to the checkered flag.
So there you go.
It's a great win for him, and I hope that real soon that Chase Elliott will be able to get back behind the wheel driving again, because he had a snowboarding accident which has kept him out.
That's right.
And he's missed the first few races now, and I'm not sure when he's going to be able to return, but I hope he has a speedy recovery and he's going to be able to get back behind the wheel real soon.
Absolutely. And tell me, who is the guy, I want to say this racing season, he's come back after being out for several months or maybe even a year or two. Was it Chase Elliott? Who was the guy who retired and is now coming back?
Jimmy Johnson.
Johnson, that's right.
He bought in with Richard Petty. He's part owner with Richard Petty and his racing team, and he's driving one of the Petty cars. He's not driving in every race, but he's part-time driver and full-time owner.
Got it. And, of course, he used to be with Hendrick, right?
Hendrick, that's
right. Yeah, so he switched teams. It'll be interesting to know whether he's happier. In fact, that might have been one of the reasons why he retired, and he just kind of did a strategic pause in racing and came back with Petty and hopefully good things will happen there. But he's your guy.
Right, yeah.
Yeah,
Tried his hand at Indy racing, and it didn't go too well.
Yeah. And I want to say, I heard about this driver who's actually done Indy, NASCAR, and I think even Formula One, right? That's a third type of racing, correct?
Yeah.
And has there been a person that has done all three forms in the last 2 years?
Maybe at
the lesser level, because I know there's like the minor leagues. What's it called, Chris, when you're not in NASCAR, but you're in the level below that, they usually race at the same track the day before?
Yeah,
what's that called?
That's the They used to call it the Bush series. I think they call it the Infinity series now, is what they call it.
Yeah. And so it's possible that's still considered professional racing. It's possible they're not well known and they had to start at that level rather than at the highest level.
Right.
Very good. All right, brother. Next time I ask you about NASCAR, you need to respond right away. John, I watched the whole race and I want you to give me the lowdown on it.
Yeah.
Isn't it true?
Maybe they need to change the rules like they're doing with baseball to get the race done faster.
What they should do is a sprint, just go around one time and then see who's the winner. That'd be, of course, that wouldn't be very, you know, people paying $145. What? Do you mean? I just went to get a Coke and it's all done. Holy smokes.
Yeah, we're going to have the race done in half the laps.
People would probably appreciate that. They wouldn't have to commit so much of their time.
Yeah.
All right, folks, listen, we only got a couple minutes left, but there's a couple other stories I wanted to pass along to you. The one I could have easily made my hit. And if you know this program, if you know kind of like the themes of this program, one of the things that we're about is not necessarily fairness, right? That's a word that can be easily defined by the person that's doing the talking. But the word that we like to use is justice, right? Is this, is God's plan behind this in some way? Whereas fairness is really a term that comes about as a result of the individual or this body that is making a decision on something. But the word justice comes from God's plan, right? Somehow comes from God's word, directly or indirectly. And this other story, I think, does. This is big news in the world of sport because, like rugby, like swimming, this organization called World Athletics will no longer allow trans athletes to compete. In particular, people that were born biological males may not compete against women. The governing body, this is off the website from, The Independent. I'll start that over. The governing body has opted, and that's the World Athletics, that means track and field international events, has opted to exclude male to female transgender athletes and those with differences in sex development from female competition if they have gone through male puberty. So in other words, and of course, this is going to be everybody, right? So if you're a female, you should only compete against other people that were born female. The decision comes after World Athletics consulted with member federations in January about a change to the rules, insisting they would, quote, follow the science in order to protect the female category, maintain fairness, there's that word, in our competitions, and remain as inclusive as possible. This is always good news. Sebastian Coe, the president of World Athletics, a former great long-distance runner himself, has confirmed, quote, the difficult decision. The statement, another statement read, the council has agreed to exclude male to female transgender athletes who have been through male puberty from female world ranking competitions from March 31st this year. In other words, starting now, right, we're in the beginning of April, they have been permanently banned. I think this is, of course, really good. This is a wise decision. And one of the reasons why this is so big is because usually it's the national and international governing bodies which rules and policies will bleed down into the lower levels. So in other words, if this is the World Athletics, maybe it will bleed down into the International Olympic Committee. It will from there bleed into the United States Track and Field Association. I'm not sure that official name. And then eventually be carried over from each and every state. Because of this, I have realized in this issue alone, people want to follow the science.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this goes with COVID and a few other issues as well. People want to follow the science until it does not agree with their position on it. As soon as it disagrees, the science disagrees with their position, they no longer care about the science. They only care about feelings. And as one famous American said recently, the individuals don't care about people's feelings, right? We care about facts. And this, in this case, it's the science. And I think this needs to be carried on. This is a clear violation. And to use the word of fairness to those female athletes, they have worked from the time that they started competing to this time on the international stage to compete against other people of the same sex as them. It's very clear, folks. I would need to take literally not just an hour, but several hours as an exercise physiologist to fully explain not just a couple, not just a few, but dozens of physiological and anatomical differences that directly relate to the outcome in competition. I am not exaggerating that. There are dozens of anatomical and physiological reasons. Speaking as an exercise physiologist, someone with a PhD, someone who is certified by the American College of Sports Medicine, as a certified exercise physiologist, I can firmly tell the audience that's listening at this moment, and anybody that you're going to talk to about this, that there are literally dozens of anatomical and physiological differences, and all of them point to the superiority of a male over a female. One of the things that I would ask you to look at, and I think I mentioned this on this program before, there was, if you take the world record time in the female 100 meters, female 100, the world record best time, by the way, it hasn't been broken in decades. If you take the best time this year alone, there have been dozens of high school boys that have beaten that record. Chris, does that make sense?
Yeah.
There are dozens of high school boys that have beaten the female record in the 100-meter dash.
Mm-hmm.
And they're boys. They're 16, 17-year-old boys. And folks, I'm not exaggerating that fact. I'm not exaggerating those statistics. And it clearly demonstrates that males are superior. They are born with more muscle fibers. They're larger muscle fibers than the ones they have. They have a higher percentage of what are called fast twitch fibers. The list goes on. So pay attention to this when people like the World Rugby Association, the International Swimming Association, and the World Athletics Association all ban men from switching sexes, so to speak. They are saying it for a reason. It's based on science. Folks, there's one other point I wanted to make before we go, and this is a far less serious issue. I think it has less to do with morals. I think it has to just do more with practicality. It has to do with what's called the transfer portal. Chris, do you know what the transfer portal is?
Yeah.
Okay, so in all sports, it only makes news in college basketball and college football, but once you've played a season, whether you've actually been on the field or the court for these teams, after the season's over, you can, in fact, at any point, but usually wait for the season to be over, you can enter in on this NCAA website and say, I am putting myself out there to transfer. And what that means is other coaches, once they're publicly out there, they can claim the rights to them. They can recruit them. They can offer them what they have, starting position, no money, whatever the case is. And Tom Izzo, the longtime great coach of Michigan State, said this about the transfer portal. He said, I don't have a lot of faith in the NCAA. This transfer portal is a waiver thing. If you got a hangnail, you get a waiver. I just don't believe in that because I think somebody, whether it's a lawyer, whether it's agents, whether it's people, they're going to come up with a different reason. Mental health is a big reason. I don't see why sitting out is such a bad thing because 90% of the kids that are sitting out aren't pros anyway, or they'd go pro. And what he's saying is if they claim any type of injury, if they claim any type of mental anguish, they can go into this transfer portal. And the bottom line from Tom Izzo is this. He said it doesn't teach them resilience. In other words, just because there's not instant success, just because there's this feeling of failure, they're not starting, they're not playing as much as they should, they're not in the system they think they should, I want to transfer. And he says, no, we should curtail this, allow a limited amount of transfers, because you can literally transfer once a year if you wanted. There's a player that played for Michigan this past year in football. He was playing for his third team, and right after the season was over, he went into the transfer portal. So literally, and he's a good player. Mm-hmm. So that means when he graduates, he'll have played four different seasons with four different college teams.
Wow.
Now, even if you're not a football fan out there, you should be thinking, that sounds pretty silly.
Yeah.
All right, folks, that's all we have time for here on Faith in Sports. So the final comments, what I always do is say goodbye and thank you to the people who made the show possible. And also, I give credit to a quote usually from a pope on the world of sport. And this one comes from Pope Francis, who said, sports means to reject all forms of selfishness and isolation. It's an opportunity to meet and be with others, to help each other, to compete in mutual esteem, and grow in brotherhood. Again, that comes from Pope Francis, and we ask that God rush his recovery. Before we go, brother, I want to say thank you to Chris. You're an integral part of not only Faith and Sport, but to this radio station. You're very helpful to us in getting this program over to Radio Maria. Brother, I thank you very much. I'm Dr. John Aquaviva. Please join us next time here on Carolina Catholic Radio and Radio Maria for more Faith and Sport. St. Sebastian,
pray for us. You've been listening to Faith and Sport on Carolina Catholic Radio, Charlotte, 1270 AM. Also streaming at carolinacatholicmedia.org and on the Carolina Catholic mobile app. We've also been broadcasting across the Radio Maria broadcasting area. We want to thank all of you for tuning in to Faith and Sport today. And whenever you log on to carolinacatholicmedia.org or the Carolina Catholic Media mobile app, make sure you hit that Donate Now button to help keep great Catholic programs like Faith and Sport and all the great Catholic programming you hear on Carolina Catholic Radio on the air. We'll see you next time on the next edition of Faith and Sports.